we just got excited about the blood. That's what I told myself. I was having a little conversation 101 with myself. And I was like, you know, we got excited about the blood today, this morning. We got excited about, you know, Jesus earlier today. And I was like, we've already done that, you know, like, and I don't know why I was having this conversation. It was pointless, but God had something. So God was working with me, and he said, funny that Brother Sterling said something about a ball game earlier as well, but he said people get excited about the same ball game over and over again. Like football games, you get excited about every one of them. It's not like you get excited about one of them, right? Get excited about all of them, you know, and no matter how many you go to or whatever, you still, or you watch, you're like, I'm still enjoying this. You're still getting excited. You're still screaming for your team, even though they're probably doing the exact same thing that they did last game. You know, they're running the ball and throwing the ball, basically blocking, hitting people. And you know, so I was like, no, God, I was like, that's different. Okay. There's a lot of strategies and different teams, and I was like, no, that's different. And he said, you've overcome some new battles today, haven't you? And I was like, well, yeah. And as that resonated in my mind, I was like, you're right. Like, we have the right to get excited about Jesus 24/7. Because I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure that every breath of air that I get comes from him. Am I right? Doesn't he allow us to breathe? Isn't that correct? Couldn't he shut us down like that? Right. So every breath is something to celebrate about. But then all day long, every day, I was like, I fight new battles. And that gives me a new excitement about the blood of Christ, about the blood of Jesus, about his power and his renewing. So is anyone else okay to get excited about Jesus more than once a day, or about the blood once a day? Is that okay? Praise God. Yes. I think it deserves a stand up. I know we've been standing, but I think the blood and Jesus, whew, you know, he deserves it. He's been so good to me. He's brought me out of so many things. He's kept me from so many things. He deserves excitement and worship all the time. Praise God. Praise God. You can be seated. I'm actually going to have, I've talked to some young men that had a testimony, and men, and I would like them to make their way right up here, and I just want them to share whatever is on their heart. Could we welcome, I don't know which ones are all coming, but here we go. So let's just welcome them up here. I want them to share what is on their heart. I believe that we have some men coming up in the future of this church and present in this church that have an anointing. Some of them are your kids, your grandkids, your relatives. Aren't you excited that God's not just finished with, you know, who he's used in the past, but he's bringing up new and revival preaching young men? Aren't you excited about that? I'm excited about it.
Well, as a lot of you know, I'm very involved in sports, and it's kind of a big deal in my life. And one thing that isn't my strongest suit, just in sports and in everything, is I won't say I'm angry, because I'm not an angry person. I'm normally a happy person, but I'm very opinionated. There we go. We'll go with that. I'm very opinionated when it comes to anything competitive, like, and just in general. And so if I see something I don't like, or if I don't agree with, then most likely I'm going to say that. I'm going to speak whatever I'm feeling. And so in sports, that happens to show a lot. And I've been ejected from quite a few games, football, basketball, soccer even. And so that's something I deal with a lot. And then the other day, on this past Thursday, we had a game. We had a basketball game. And I was like, because we always pray before our games. And so we went to the little circle, and I was like, okay, God, can you just make sure I don't speak my mind as much, at least, because I know I'm going to say something, but I just pray that you could, like, help me. In that game, I didn't say anything, actually, and I didn't even get ejected. And so, so recently, God has been helping me struggle with that hot-headedness, I guess, and so I'm still praying for it, but I can just say that a testimony is I didn't get ejected last game.
Well, my testimony is kind of a small thing, but it impressed me because I feel like God really shows his power, like, in the small things. Well, Callan and I were driving to one of Sterling's basketball games to watch him get ejected, and... And we were going, and we're on 82, and it's, you know, it's like, you know, it's two lanes, so one coming this way, one coming this way. And we were stuck behind an 18-wheeler, and he slung a rock, and it knocked about like a nickel-size crack in my windshield. And I really like my truck. And I don't know what the feeling of somebody punching your child's like, but I feel like it's not unlike someone slinging a rock on your truck. And so I was furious, you know, and it was right eye level, like all you can see. It's not up in the corner. Like as soon as you look at the road, you could just see this big old crack. And so I was like, I was devastated and looked at it the entire trip and back. And then the next day I get up and I look and I'm like, I'm just going to look at it. I don't know why I'm going to look at it, but I'm just going to look at it to get mad again. So I looked and I couldn't find it. I was like, that's weird. So I looked and I couldn't find it. And then even today, Brother Caleb and I looked. I told him about it, and we searched. We got outside the truck. We were looking for it. We can't find it. So I feel like God healed my windshield. So yeah, I feel like he knew I couldn't afford to fix it, and I feel like he healed my windshield. So.
Well, mine's not really a testimony. It's more of a thought. This morning, I was driving to church, and I was just thinking, it came to me, stop putting God in the background. And it's just crazy to think how we feel like we go through so much stuff all the time. It's all just poor me. I can never overcome this. As soon as I overcome one thing, another thing hits me even harder. But God's not going to put us through anything that we can't handle. Even when he puts us through flames, he's going to be there with us and bring us through. He's never going to put us in deeper water than we can swim. And it's just stop putting God in the back, because if we put him in the front, then he's going to show us the way and lead us. Without him leading us, then we're just going to be blind. And so that's just what I felt today.
Amen. Amen. We have some good young men in the church. Amen. Let's give them a round of applause. I'm thankful for what God's growing in these students here. But mine is more of a, I'm thankful. Caleb asked for a testimony. I said, man, I really don't have anything on my heart, but I am thankful for many things. And I'm going to make it interactive just for here a second. I feel like we've been in pretty interactive so far, the service. So I'll have a few people stand up as I give my testimony. But I want to first off and say thankful for the Meyer family. I married into it 5 years ago, and some of the greatest prayer meetings I've ever been in was in family moments. I will say that on our birthdays, we do a special thing where everybody takes a turn and shares one good thing, or many good things, actually, about whose birthday it was. So today, my wife, it was her birthday, and we all shared our testimonies or experiences we've had with each other. And it's not like, you're a talented singer, I love you. It's like 2 to 5 minutes of just wipe your eyes when you get finished. It's amazing stuff. And I'm thankful for the Meyer family. I'm thankful for my heritage on my side of the family. I was kind of in ministry. My grandmother, she was in a minister's position for many years, and she died of cancer. But she battled with stage 4 cancer for 6 years, and God healed her many, many times. Praise the Lord. And I'm thankful for the heritage. I'm 4th generation Pentecost, maybe 5th. I can't remember if Mom says. I know for sure 4th generation. And I'm just thankful for what they've done. I'm thankful for our elders in the church. That's one thing, if the elders could stand right quick. I just want to acknowledge, if you consider yourself an elder, if you've been in the church over 20 years, if you're gray-headed, if you could stand. I want to say thank you for all the prayers. Thank you for your commitment. Thank you for enduring. Amen. Praise God. Next, we sang the song, How Great Is Our God? How great really is He? I was going to ask a question. Has anybody overcome anxiety or depression? If you want to stand. If you ever dealt with depression, anxiety, any kind of spiritual distraction in your life, and God has healed you, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Has anybody been addicted to drugs, anything, alcohol, anything in your life that you was addicted to that God delivered you from? Praise God. Hey, there's nothing to be ashamed of because our God is great. How great is He? He has been the deliverer of anxiety, of depression, of spiritual battles, of addiction. Hallelujah. This is just a few testimonies here tonight. Is anybody could stand that's been healed in their body, healed of sickness, healed of pain? Anybody been delivered of anything in their body that they've been facing? This is a testimony of a congregation of people, amen? Not just one, not two. If anybody, two or more, can come to agreement, anything can be possible, amen? Hallelujah. And one more thing before I end. I have a really, really close friend. We've been to school and graduated together and furthered our relationship past that. And his mother is in hospice right now with cancer. And they say she's in her final days. So is there anybody that's ever been healed of cancer, if you don't mind standing? Praise God. God is a healer. And if you don't mind, let's just take, his name is Casey Cole. And we need to say a prayer, if we don't mind. Let's all just stand and say one quick prayer for him and his family. God, we thank you for this body of Christ that has faith that you are a healer. I pray right now, God, you put your hands on his family and his situation. I pray you cover his mother in the blood of Jesus, God. Give her strength and peace and joy of the situation she's going through right now. And let her know, God, you are a healer. And one day she may be able to see your great face, God. I pray that you give their family peace right now and comfort for all that they're going through. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, amen. I am thankful to live for God.
I took my time getting up here because I didn't want to go first, but now I'm like the only one. Here like a few months ago, I was struggling and I got down on myself. And it seems like when you get down on yourself, the devil has no problem talking you into, you know, thinking everybody else is down on you too, because you know what I mean. And anyways, there's a young man in church. Never had a conflict with him or anything. I ain't gonna mention any names, but he's a great guy. And for some reason, I thought he didn't like me for some reason, and I ended up like contemplating just quitting church because I was struggling so bad with depression and anxiety and all that kind of stuff. But one day, like 10 minutes in the service, an elder from the church came and started praying for me when they had the prayers for the needs. I should have been up there, but I didn't. And he started praying for me. And I hate to say it, but honestly, I was thinking it'd last 5-10 minutes, he'd be done. And before I knew it, he was telling me everything that I was struggling with. And then, out of nowhere, he told me that he's like, that young man, he loves you. And he's the guy that I thought didn't like me at all, you know. And anyways, I was using that. You know, God knows where you are. I wasn't praying. About the only praying I did was on Sundays. And even though I neglected him, he still knows where I am, and he still reaches out to me, and I don't deserve any of it. And I'm thankful for all the friendships and family that I have.
Love you, man. Praise God. Praise God. I feel like we've already started preaching. My goodness. Goodness. Wow, you can be seated. Wow. Aren't you thankful for the Lord? Praise God. I don't have just a lot tonight. God placed kind of everything that has occurred on my heart and to do. And, of course, now you always see afterwards why God is makes things happen the way he does. And it's just, but I do have, I have a little something, but it's not going to take long, so don't expect a long time. But I want to start off tonight doing a little summarizing, a little bit of the Bible and in Exodus. And, sorry, I've got something in my throat that won't get out. But I've been trying to study the Bible like Pastor has been talking to us about, you know, not just reading the Bible and just going through it, blowing through it. I don't know if anyone else is guilty of that, but he steps on my toes when he says that, and I appreciate that, though, Pastor, but it's also a challenge, and so I've been trying to incorporate that more into my life and trying to actually study, and in that, in studying Exodus, Moses was trying to get Pharaoh to release the Israelites. Okay, so those of y'all that don't know this part of the story, I'm just going to kind of summarize it. And so the Israelites were in bondage and in captivity. And so Moses comes, led by God, and Moses tells Pharaoh, hey, if you don't release them, God's going to send plagues until you release them. So to summarize, he sends 10 plagues, and Pharaoh tries to compromise every time. He's like, okay, I'll release them, and then he doesn't release them, and then he gets them back, and he's like, no, I'm just kidding, and something like that, you know, making a little fun. It's okay to laugh, right? And so Pharaoh tries to compromise, but the last one is what I want to talk about just for a few moments tonight, and it's the Passover. And the Passover was, in fact, I'll tell you what, let's just read this part. I'll turn to Exodus 12 and 5. And give me a second. Okay, Exodus 12 and 5, I'll start there and I'm just going to read through this part. So, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in that the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it on two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the purtenance thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, for your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. That's pretty stout, wasn't it? A lot of descriptive details. Honestly, I'm guilty of hearing about the story, but not necessarily dissecting what all was entailed in detail on what to do with this lamb. And so, first off, a couple of things I'd like to talk about this setting is that I realized that it was a foreshadowing. Y'all probably know this, but I'm going to share it with you anyways. It was a foreshadowing of the perfect lamb that would come and give his life. So the Passover represented, as I read that, I was like, wow, they're supposed to kill this lamb, and it's going to save their life. by putting the blood over their door. And so as I read that, I was like, that's a foreshadowing of Jesus, the perfect Lamb, coming and being what keeps us from dying. Is that awesome or what? How the Bible foreshadows things like that. I just thought that was amazing. And I think it was so important for us to know that it had to be a perfect Lamb. You know, a lot of times we want, in our sacrifice to God, we want to go and He says, okay, get a lamb. Okay, okay, I'm going to go get this one that's about to die anyways. That's a good idea. You know, and we kind of, it's funny, and I would have done that back then probably. I would have been guilty of that person because I'm guilty of it in a different way now. Whereas God says, oh, I need you to give up some time and spend it with me. I need you to pray. And I'm like, well, God, I have this other time. I'll tell you what, I'll spend some extra time cleaning the family center, you know, instead of praying. Like, I'll spend some extra time in doing what He didn't call me to do. Does that make sense? Is that relating with anyone? Well, sometimes we don't want to give our best sacrifice to God. A perfect lamb, you know, you'd probably be pretty proud of that. If you were a person that raised lambs and you showed them, has anyone ever, I know some people in here probably as students have showed some type of animal of some sort. I know Mason back there and Sister Abby, that's how I know anything about this, is Sister Abby showed a pig. And so, but like that pig, you're raising that to perfection. You know, you're getting that thing fat. And when it goes to the show, you want it to be clean and all muscled up. And so I imagine, like, this was kind of, if you raise sheep, that was your pride and joy, kind of, you know? Like, that was yours. This is my sheep, you know? And so sometimes I feel like we're guilty of that. And we're like, God, okay, I'll give you a sacrifice, God. I'm going to give you this over here that I don't really care about anyways. And so I think it's important for us to realize that that's not what God's asking for. He's not asking for your least amount of attention. He's not asking for their sacrifice that isn't really going to be a sacrifice to you. I think that that's what's so interesting, is that God wants a sacrifice. My sacrifice may be different than Brother Aaron's sacrifice. He didn't make it specific. Because, you know, someone in here may be sick or paralyzed, and they can't get up and dance and shout. So theirs may be a little different sacrifice than me with a healthy body. See what I'm saying? So we gotta learn that it's not some general term. We gotta make sure that we are personally sacrificing what God's calling us to sacrifice. Number two thing is the Israelites applied the blood. I feel like a lot of people, and you know about the blood. We know that the blood is there. But how many of us truly apply the blood? It's not enough just to know about the lamb or just to kill it. They had to apply the blood. They had to. I'm sure there were some good people with some good lifestyles back then. Sometimes I think I'm guilty of thinking some good people, and I've known some really good people, you know, in the past. And sometimes when I read stories like that, I just imagine that the good people that lived a good lifestyle, that didn't happen to them. But it says that, it plainly said, when I see the blood, I will pass over. Didn't matter how good of a person, how good your works were, how good. He asked to see the blood. And we have to make sure that blood is applied to our life, over our sins, over our life and our families, to make sure that the blood is applied. Number three, the lamb was roasted and eaten. And I'll be honest, this threw me way off because I hadn't really known a lot about this. I didn't know that they had to roast and eat the lamb. But as I read it and I studied it, it became a very big part kind of in my life. And Exodus 12 and 8, the lamb had to be roasted, just like Christ had to go through some fire. Once again, it's a parallel. Christ had to go through the fire, through the torture, through the torment. This lamb had to go, had to be roasted, had to go through the fire itself. And so, I want to move on over here. Sorry, I got lost. The lamb had to be roasted. Christ had to endure the fire of God's wrath on the cross before we could feed upon him. There was a distinct purpose in both the blood and the flesh of the lamb. The Israelites were saved from death by the blood, but received strength for the journey by the feeding of the flesh. You see, the just killing the lamb and just putting the blood over your door, they had to eat the meat to have strength, because they were heading somewhere. Are we heading somewhere tonight? Are you wanting to go somewhere in your life, in your spiritual walk with God? You wanting to go somewhere? Come on, somebody. I know it's slowed down a whole lot, but somebody, come. We got to eat of the lamb. We have to eat it so we can have strength for the journey. And the next one, this was interesting. They were to be fully dressed and ready to go at dinner. When they ate the roast, because once again, they were in captivity, right? They were there, they were eating. So they were to eat the lamb with their loins girded, their shoes on their feet, and their staffs in their hand. In other words, they were to not wait until they were urged to leave to get ready. It wasn't like they weren't waiting until the rapture came to get ready. We can't wait on the rapture to come before we get ready. That's not good enough. He's told them, and the thing I found out about the Israelites is that they didn't have their shoes on when they ate. And so to have their shoes on went against their laws. So when they put their shoes on and they got dressed and they were eating, that resembled the expectation level of we're going somewhere. Sometimes we get the blood in our life, and don't get me wrong, you can't miss any of the steps. That's the important thing. You can't miss having the blood over your life. But you also got to eat of him, eat of the word of God, so you can be strengthened for the journey. And then you got to get ready. You got to get this body dressed and ready. You got to get your life and try and start getting it in order, because you're going on a journey. And I want the music to come. I'm fixing to be done. I'm about to close this out so music can come. But, you know, I'm going to switch modes in a little bit. You are the reason that Christ died on the cross. Now, this is kind of a switch, but it's going to tie in, okay? I think sometimes we think of Jesus being born and that entire process. Pastor did an incredible job this morning of putting it all together. But he did that for you and me. He knew that he was going to be put on a cross. He knew that he was going to have to bear stripes on his back. But he chose to do that for you and I. Who are we not to apply the blood? Who are we not to get ready for where he's trying to take us? Could we all stand up? You know, I just get amazed by the entire, all the miracles of God, but the miracle of creation in itself, creating everything that we see in the world, the animals, the trees, the air, he created, I think what you said this morning was, so he created the dirt that produces a metal that they pull, you know, what else did you say, I can't remember, we pull that out of what he created, though. So creation is incredible. But it wasn't finished until Adam and Eve were created. And that resembles us. you know, that was so vast. I mean, it had to be beautiful right as he created it. Can you imagine? God speaks all this into existence, and it's perfect. But then it wasn't complete until he created us. It wasn't complete until, so that's how important that we are. You know, the miracle of the same Spirit creating everything, and then that robes himself in flesh to be born from a virgin, which is what we're about to be celebrating, and growing up to do miracles and wonders and teaching and preaching and being an example, to being nailed to a cross where once again the perfect lamb would be sacrificed, to rising out of the graveyard. That's our lineage. That's our God that we serve. That is who is calling us. You are the reason he chose. Young person, that's how important you are to God. That's how much you living for him means to him. This earth wasn't complete until he created us. Not for us to be stuck up and look down at other people and others like we're better. No, that's definitely not the right spirit. But I think Pastor said it perfect this morning. Being a Christian is not this some lame life, boring life that we have to live. That we can't do this and we can't do this. No, it's a privilege to be loved by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's a privilege to do what he asks. You know, and then I think of, sometimes we say a lame and boring life, you know, not being able to do this and this. And I got to thinking today, you know, last time I checked, Jesus didn't have a boring life. He had a pretty incredible few years on this earth. Miracles, walking on water, like healing blind people, healing feeble people. I mean, that's a pretty radical life, is it not? You know, sometimes, hold on a second. As well as the disciples. Look at what those guys saw. You think they had a boring life? The more I read about them, the more I'm like, oh, my goodness. Maybe something's wrong with me if I'm not living an excited Christian life. Because they were following after Jesus' footsteps, and they sure didn't have some boring life. So, now if you're just in it for religion, and you get all this done, and all you do is sit on a pew, yeah, that's boring. And I think I may have been guilty of thinking that that was the ultimate. That was where I was wanting to be. No, I want an exciting life. I want to see miracles. I want to be so close with the Spirit of God walking in His light, in His truth, that there's not a day that goes by that something exciting doesn't happen in my life. Maybe I was the problem. Maybe I'm the problem. You know, it's boring just going through a routine, but when you fall in love with God and the things of God, I mean, it's just, you're unstoppable. So right now, as the music plays and we're going to sing a song, I just want us together at the front in unity and celebrate the reason that he came. Celebrate you being alive. I think that we get caught up, like Brother Jesse, that tied in so well. You know, we get down on ourselves and we get to thinking that we're not worth much. We're not capable of much. Are you kidding me? God created you. He wanted you here. You're here for a reason. Don't get down on yourself. God is calling you. God is wanting you. You're the reason he went through torture, torment. You're the reason. He loves you. Could we all just pray? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me so much that you went to the extremes. Thank you for giving us directions, God. Thank you for the blood, God, that covers our sins, that will make us one day rise to be with you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, you are so worthy. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus.